Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Shelas Yaivitz, Chelik Aleph Simin Men Vov, has a shayla. The shayla is, there was a woman who came from Italy, Rome, Italy, that was Megayer. And the question was, is she Mutal Lovei Bekal Hashem, or is she also Lovei Bekal Hashem? What was his shayla based on? The shayla was based on the fact that Chazal had a Mesorah that the Romans were synonymous with Edom, that they were descendants of Esav, that they had come from Edom. And the Torah says that an Edomi is not allowed to marry into Kal Hashem up to the Dar Shlishi. So it's for that reason, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wasn't sure, what's the halacha? Is this woman treated as an Edomi, that she's now also loved by Kal Hashem, or is she not treated as an Edomi? Maybe she's mutter loved by Kal Hashem. So you'll tell me the Rambam. The Rambam says, Basan Cheriv u'bibulas umois. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden argued that you see clearly that even after Sancheriv, Chazal seemed to know who exactly Edom was. They were the Romans that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. That was after Sancheriv. So we know who the Romans were, and if they were Edom, and there are many Makaris to that in Chazal, that it should emerge perhaps that a Roman or an Italian convert today should be also loved by Kal Hashem up until the Dar Shlishi. That was Rabbi Yaakov Emden Shiloh that he discusses in Shelas Yaivitz, and after a tshuva that he writes, he comes out to Lekatchila to be machmer, and he's concerned that maybe it could be, it's going to be aser. Now, it's all based on this premise, which is that the Romans were considered to be descendants of Esav, that they were considered to be from Edom. Now, the truth is, there are many makuris to this in Chazal. The Gemara Masechtis, Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin of the Beis, and the Sugis of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Al Naru is Bovel, Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochinu, Bezachreinu Asiyon. And then we say, Zachreinu, Zachar Hashem Levnei Edom, Misyem Yerushalayim, Ha'omrim Oru Oru, Ada Yesoyba. Says the Gemara that David HaMelech began, Al Naru is Bovel. And then he concluded, or he resumed by saying, Zachar Hashem Levnei Edom. Bovel, Edom, Malamed, you see from here that Hashem showed David HaMelech Baruch HaKodesh, Churbim Bayis Rishon, V'Churbim Bayis Sheni. Al Naru is Bovel. Bovel destroyed the first base of Mikdash. And Zachar Hashem Levnei Edom, Edom were the ones that destroyed the second base of Mikdash. As if Edom, Esav, they were the Romans. So you see clearly that Rome and Edom were connected. It's Gemara Navi Dezorah, Daf Chesamid Beis, where the Gemara discusses that the Yidden were negotiating with the Romans, and they were quoting Psukim and Parshas Vayishlach that talk about Yaakov and Esav clearly working under the impression that the Romans were descendants of Edom, they were descendants of Esav. Tosfos in Masechtas Gittin, Daf Nun Hei, Amud Beis, right in the beginning of the Sugya of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. How does Kamsa Bar Kamsa come into Masechtas Gittin? Right, you ever wonder? Because there's a Mishnah there that talks about this Sekrikun and discusses that there were Roman officers that used to take Yidden's land, they would force them to give them their land, and then they would sell it to other people. And the question was whether from a Mekach or Mekach standpoint, it was a Mekach, it wasn't a Mekach. And the Gemara says that when did they do this? Right at the beginning when the events of the Churban began to unfold, and it's through there that the Gemara gets into a discussion of the Churban, and for that reason, every year, Tisha B'Av, you said you learned the Sugya of Kamsa by Kamsa, it comes in Masech Tzgitta because there's a discussion about the Sekrikim. The Mishnah says that they used to do this in Yehuda. It began originally in the Yehuda Chelek of Eretz Yisrael, which is where Yehuda lived. Tosfos there quotes a Yerushalmi that says, why did the Sekrikim begin doing what they did in Yehuda? Why Chelek Shal Yehuda? So he quotes a Yerushalmi that the Romans had a Mesorah that Yehuda killed their great-great-great-great-grandfather Esav. And to take revenge, Keneged Yehuda, they went after Shevi Yehuda. Frey Tosfos, everyone knows the story. Anyone who went to Cheder knows the story of Chushim Ben Dam. Wasn't Chushim Ben Dam the one who whacked his head? He didn't know what was going on. He was deaf. He missed the whole story by the Maris HaMachpelah. Says Tosfos, maybe you have to say that Chushim hit him, but didn't kill him. Yehuda was the one who actually took him out. Yehuda was the one that killed him. But again, it's based on the rest of the story. But it's based on the same idea that Esav and Edom were related. And that's what Yaakov Emden's tshuva is really based on. But the truth is that from a historical standpoint, it's something that's very, very difficult to understand. Because it's not exactly clear when or where or how Edom and Esav became Roimi. I mean, you don't think of Esav, Zarish al Esav, as being Eastern Europeans. When they settle originally in Har Seir, you're dealing in Petra, Jordan, that's where Edom physically is. How exactly would the people from Edom somehow become the Romans, somehow become the Italians? So just, it's interesting, I researched this years ago, but there are a few interesting Mahalchim, Makaris, and Chazal. I'll just go through them very, very quickly. The last Rashi in Parashas Vayishlach. The pasuk over there is discussing the names of the Alufei Esav. Esav had sons. His sons were all officers. They had positions of prominence. And the pasuk over there is going through the Aluf, Aluf Yisei, Aluf Timna, Aluf Alalima, Aluf Elav. The last one is
Aluf Magdiel. Actually, the second to last one. Aluf Magdiel, last Rashi. Says Rashi, who's Magdiel? He Roimi. It's Roimi. So you see already connection between Esav and Roimi. Aluf Magdiel was Roimi. The Makar to this Rashi is a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The Ramban in his Pirush al Torah says that he believes Rashi misunderstood Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, but that's a Ramban already. But yeah, the first Makar is a Rashi. Rashi, the last Rashi, Parshas Vayishlach, Aluf Magdiel, he Roimi. The Ramban himself in Parshas Vayichi, after the story where Yosef and the brothers take Yaakov and they go bury him in Eretz Yisrael by the Aras HaMachpelah, so the Ramban, and I could be this is the only place, I think, in the Ramban al HaTorah quotes Josephus, but he says as follows. He says that on their way back, Yosef's on his way back with his brothers from burying Yaakov, and they encounter Tzifoy ben Alifas. Tzifoy was Alifas's son. Alifas was the son of Esav. So this is Esav's grandson. Matzinu b'sefer divrei hayovim liyosef ben Gurion, who's sefer Yosefon. And he says he's found it in other history works as well. That on their way back, Tzifoy ben Alifas ben Esav met the brothers of Yosef and he started fighting with them. The Ramban himself says that it jives very well with the Gemara Masechtas Soita Daf Yud Gimel that says that it was at that encounter when Yaakov was buried that Esav was actually killed. Esav contested Yaakov's right, or the brother's right, to bury Yaakov in the Maris Machpelah, not Esav. They had a fight. Esav gets killed during that fight on his way back. It now makes sense. Word spreads, albeit slowly. And now Eliphaz, his son, Tzfoy, and an army and an entourage, they come and they're going to start up with Yosef because they're upset at what happened. But the Ramban over here says, I'll read it to you inside. Kibot Tzfoy ben Eliphaz ben Esav asimam kitata al ze acha orchu milchama. They fought a war. Vatik bar yad Yosef. Yosef was successful. Vatofsu am mifchar gedudav. He took Tzvoi and his entire entourage as prisoners, and he brought them to Egypt. And they ended up being in jail as long as Yosef was alive. What happened was, after Yosef died, so the kings used to free prisoners. That was always the custom in the ancient world. So when a new king would become king, he would free the prisoners of the previous king to show that that there's a fresh start. Now there's a new boss. There's a new sheriff in town. So that's what he would do. So Tzifoy was let out of prison. He left Egypt. V'holach le'eretz kanfanyo u'molach al kitim b'roimo. And he became the king of Kitim, which is where Roimi is. U'besoyev humlach al kol eretz Italia. He eventually became king over the entire land of Italy. V'hu asher molach rishon al Roimi. He was the first king of Rome. V'hu asher bona ha'echol ha'rishon v'ha'godol ma'asher nivnu b'Roimi. And he built this famous, apparently there was a famous temple in Rome, and he's the one who built it. And then the Ramban says, the Gemara Saita, like we mentioned, so you have a little bit more of the rest of the story, a little more history. Rome was founded by Tzifoy ben Eliphaz ben Esav. So a little bit of a connection here between Esav and between Roimi. The Ramban, in his Kisvei HaRamban, they have the Moshe Rav Kook, two volumes, Kisvei Ramban, this is in the censored Ksavim, but the Ramban, in his Kisvei HaRamban, says that he believes that the way reason Chazal linked Roimi and Edom was because the Edomians were the first followers of Yeshe HaNoitzri. So when Yeshe HaNoitzri started doing his thing, his earliest followers, he started in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, that's a fact, and that's where Edom was. It was to the south of Eretz Yisrael, Jordan. So the original followers of Yeshe HaNoitzri were the Edomian. Eventually, Christianity, Nazareth, would become synonymous with Rome. Mm-hmm. And being that the Edomian were the original founders of Nazareth, and Nazareth was synonymous with Rome, so it's logical then to suggest that Edom somehow became synonymous with Esav, with Rome. Esav became synonymous with Rome, that's what the Ramban says in his Ksavim. I found a beautiful gra in his Pirush on Esther. The gra says, listen to this, here's the home run. The gra says, Basan Cheriv u'bibul asa umois. Chazal had a Messiah that Sancheriv brought Esav to Roimi. And in Chanami, there really is no history. History doesn't go back to the times of Esav. But we know everything was all mixed up. That was Sancheriv who was Mevavel asa umois. Chazal had a Messiah that's what they did. What does this have to do with the Inyan of the Yom HaChanukah? not a lot, but it is kedai to mention Evan Ezra. The Evan Ezra says that Roimi and Yavon were really one. We know that there were four Goliaths. There was Golas Bavel, Paros Hamadai, Golas Yavon, and Golas Roimi. That's the way Chazal say it in a bunch of different places. That's the way we know the four Goliaths. The Evan Ezra says it's a toys. The Evan Ezra says that Golas Roimi and Golas Yavon were really one and the same. Roimi Esav was really a hemshach of Golas Yavon. There's a concept of Greco-Roman culture. Roimi and Greece were very much one and the same. Who was the fourth Gaulus then? Who was the fourth Gaulus? And this really is a conversation for another day. The fourth Gaulus was Gaulus Yishmael. The Ramban says, writes, I think it's in his Pirush Al Torah Parshas Chukas, he quotes this Ibn Ezra, and he says that he sees that Ibn Ezra had tremendous negius. Ibn Ezra lived in the Arab world, and he suffered terribly from the oppression of the Arabs, and he says he believes it's for that reason that he was blinded into thinking that Golas Yishmael was one of the four Golas, but he's wrong. It really wasn't the fourth Golas, the Ramban writes this. Golas Yavon was the third Golas. Golas Roimi or Edoim, they really were the fourth Golas. But either way, going back to Rabbi Yaakov Emden Shaila, it's based on the idea that there's a connection between Edoim and Roimi. What connection is there? So we mentioned all these different mahalchim. If you want to see, just interesting, one of the makaris that there's a connection in Esav and Edoim is Rabbi Zorah Dachesim and Beis. If you look in the Agoyis Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself there, he quotes the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, Svoy ben Alifaz, he quotes the theory of the Ramban, not quoting the Ramban in his Ksovim, that maybe it has a shaychus to the founding of Christianity, but either way, now you know the rest of the story.